Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Which one is it going to be? Gilbert, better luck next year or Astros going to win tonight?
Better luck next year anyway. Oh!
Better luck next time. Maybe we
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Gilbert!
Yeah!
Gilbert!
The coin has spoken.
They can't win, home. They can't win, home. They can't win, home.
Gilbert!
Yeah!
Gilbert remix. I like it. Good stuff, Frank. All right.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys want to get in? Let's go. You've had stuff that you've wanted to say about this team.
This is your show. The board has been pretty full today, which is why Gilbert hasn't been able to call in.
Right. Sure. So now is the time. If you've been trying to get in and you haven't been able to, this is a good time. A couple of notes before then. I did not see this. I don't know if this is right, but maybe it is. His stat nobody is talking about. The Giants quarterback Tyrod Taylor became the first black quarterback to win a game for the Giants in their entire history. Nearly 100 years.
Well, how many have started? Didn't Anthony, what's his last name? I can't remember. He's a journeyman quarterback. I thought he might have played for them. How many black quarterbacks have started for the Giants?
I can't remember a single one.
Mm-mm. How about the
Jeff Hostetler, maybe?
He's white.
Oh, okay.
So
his name is Jeff.
Phil Simms?
White, too. You seen his son.
Shoot.
He's real white.
It's getting hard to come
How about
up with
this stat out. That I saw? The Phillies have been around for 141 years. Yeah, they started baseball in the 1800s.
Yeah, but they're early in.
Yeah. They've made 16 postseasons.
That's not true.
We've made 16 in this decade, in this century.
That can't be true.
That's what I
thought. In the 80s, you had a good team. In the 90s, you had time. Like, in the 70s with Steve Carlton, that's it? They've only had 16 postseasons?
And
ever?
They've never played a Game 7 in their history until tonight. They've never played a Game 7.
Wow. That's
and there's incredible. Only, like, four, a few other organizations. The White Sox have never played in a Game 7. Listen, if that's true, 141 years and 16 postseasons, do you understand how special what these Astros are? Baseball is hard.
Oh, no, I already know how special it is.
This is
incredible.
I mean, everybody's all pissed off today, and rightfully so, because the team didn't perform. But what they're doing, what Dusty was talking about how he changed, how Dusty has changed our economics here in the city of Houston.
Don't give that away, but he did mention Houston's spoiled, and I readily admit that we're spoiled, and I hope we all appreciate this run because it will go away, and who knows, this might be the last year of a long run. I'd like to hope not, but I think this is a critical offseason, critical decisions where that window starts to close on you because of the Rangers and Seattle. Let's listen to Dusty after the game talk a little bit about it's a little introspective, I think.
I mean, we overcame a lot of stuff. You know, I overcame a lot of stuff. We overcame a lot of stuff. You know, amidst people wondering why we weren't where we were, it doesn't matter who we were suiting up. It didn't matter, you know, who we had injured. You know, I personally got a whole bunch of undue criticism for whatever. You know what I mean? So you wear it and you hold your head up high and you think about what you've accomplished versus what you've lost. And, I mean, this city is proud of this team. You know, we've made, over the last 4 years since I've been here, the three before I got here, I mean, we bought a lot of enjoyment. I mean, and created a lot of fans that weren't fans. And, I mean, not to mention, every time I go down the street, the hotels are full, the bars are full, the restaurants are full. I mean, we've helped this place out economically big time, which sometimes goes unnoticed, because, see, these streets would have been empty in the last 2 weeks. But instead, I saw a whole bunch of people out, you know, having a good time. They live and die, you know, with the team, and we live and die with, you know, the wins and losses.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a lot. This is a fun time. This is a great time. And I agree. I think the city's better for it. Everybody's talking. Everybody's happier. I mean, if it was the doldrums like the Texans and the Rockets have been for the last 3 years, I mean, that just is, there's no fun. There's no entertainment. This is entertainment. It's like we have, you know, it's better than a great movie. It's every night. It's, you're on the edge of your seat. Every night you're rooting. What else do you scream for while you're sitting at home by yourself watching something?
As much as it hurts to lose these games, the malaise of, think about this, and this is going to sound a little dour, but there's many people in life, many of our listeners have jobs that they hate. They have lives that they're not particularly fond of. They may have a relationship.
Sorry,
guys. They may not.
Your lives blow.
They look forward to this. This is the one thing that gives them joy. I mean, there's a lot of people over the years. That's how these blue-collar towns, a lot of them, why they're so rabid about sports is they have hard jobs. They don't make a lot of money. They go through a lot of difficulties. Some people go through emotional stuff. They go through divorces. They go through whatever the case may be. Family members who have issues. Everyone has their own problems, and the respite for a lot of people is their professional sports. So when the sports are bad, it makes the doldrums and the despair worse. When your sports are good, it uplifts you. It gives you something to look forward to. It gives you something to be excited about. Regular season baseball is fun to watch. It's fine. We have a lot to talk about, but there's something about the juice. My wife even told me this. As a Longhorn, she said, honestly, I'll be glad when these playoffs are over, whether it's we win a World Series or not, because I honestly think baseball is more stressful to me to watch than the Longhorns are. And I understood it because there's more of a buildup in baseball. And I just think that with the bad of losing comes the good of the exaltation that we have.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of people. And when your teams suck, it gives you nothing.
That Jose Altuve home run went from, you know, just down in the dumps to, you don't get that in anywhere else. And the Astros have given that to us countless times now over these 7 years. So, yep, Dusty, you're right. Listen, if it was rough on you, because he hears the criticism.
He obviously hears it. When's the last time you heard a coach say, or a manager that you can remember, say that they felt like they were unjustly criticized? I don't remember it. Usually they keep it to themselves.
Not to the media, but I've heard it from coaches.
They obviously think that, and I've thought that about in some cases. They don't usually say that out loud.
No. Privately, they say "F them."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Dusty's saying too. I do think that Dusty, at some point, because he hears the criticism and he thought it was unjust, because he didn't like the fact that Chandler Rome kept pushing the Chaz McCormick and the Yiner Diaz thing, and the fans were as well. I think at some point Dusty really did say, because he even had to step out, hey, you guys are going to thank me for what's going on with Yiner Diaz. You guys are going to thank me for this. The criticism stung Dusty, and I think he thought, and I wish this were the case, but it's just not anymore. We've changed as a society. You remember in the 90s when Rudy Tomjanovich brought the team their first title in Clutch City? And then he won a second one back-to-back. But there was a good long honeymoon period where you just really didn't criticize Rudy too much, maybe a little bit. But Rudy did something special. And I saw a lot of people like, how are y'all criticizing Dusty already? He just won a World Series. This is, you know, in the middle of the season. Unfortunately, I think society has changed. That Rudy stuff was 30 years ago, 28 years ago. Now it's changed. I mean, I always love to bring up the fact that Ed Orgeron, a Cajun at LSU, won a national championship, and his honeymoon didn't last very long. you just don't get long honeymoons anymore, even if you win. And I know it's really not going to make sense for a 70-plus-year-old outfielder who, you know, former outfielder and Hall of Famer who remembers there was a time where, man, winning bought you some time.
He expected this year to be a coronation.
Yes.
Like, yep.
That's what it is.
It was we're going to celebrate Dusty, and no matter what it was, hey, we won a World Series. I finally got one. Everyone's off my back. We remember the conversations after in the post game where I got me one. What can you say to me now? Oh, don't worry. We got stuff to say. I don't think he expected it.
Nope.
And
But some of the stuff is unusual. When you have a rookie who's got 23 home runs, who struggles to get into the lineup unless they're just injuries. The only reason Yiner played that much is because of injuries. That's the only reason he got to 23. That is a little unusual with that player can't get in more. It is a little unusual with the player hitting over 900 OPS.
Especially when you were struggling for runs.
Yeah, like that is unusual. Yep. I'm sorry, but that's going to garner questions about what the hell's going on.
Dusty, you know, he just throws out something. He went with Singleton the other night because the clerk is better.
The clerk is 100 points right-handers
against left-handers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he goes with Singleton. And yet, all year long, Maldonado's playing and Yiner's not. It's just I think he's got selective analysis on a lot of stuff. He got a selective analysis and just whatever fits, whatever he wants to do, he's going to do it. And I think he did. Last night, he did. He gave us all the middle finger and said, watch this. Maldonado's hitting here.
Yeah. And, that's fine. He's going to go out as a Hall of Famer. And I do thank Dusty for everything he did. I think it's time for a different direction. And it may be time for some more. You know, the Josh Miller thing, they got to get the pitching figured out because they gave money in advance to Christian Javier. And now you're like, I know he had two good postseason games in a row, but man, the Christian Javier yesterday was
They got a lot of figuring out to do with that. They got a lot of figuring out to do with Pena. They got a lot of figuring out to do with what they're going to do with center field. Maybe McCormick goes to left and you get an everyday center field. We'll see. There's a lot of stuff to figure out. Right now, though, you got to figure out TGS Insurance.
Well, I've already got it figured out. If you're figuring out your homeowner's insurance, the easy decision is for you to text the word money to 232323. They send back an automated text that says, what is your address? You type that in and you send it. What does that do? What starts the process of their algorithm in the background, plugging your address into the system and shopping with all these A-rated insurance companies, and they get you the very best rate. It doesn't really take long. It's based on the information that is already provided in the background through HCAD. And so it's not complicated for the system to be linked in with these other providers and pull you these rates up. Now, you might expect that if I told you that you'd get a return call back within 15 minutes, you'd be blown away. It's 15 seconds you get a text back telling you what your price is going to be. Now, if you have anything specific like I had with a roof, they had a roof question on me that I had to answer separately, then I ended up getting my email back in short order of what the prices were going to be. But it gives you a chance to immediately check what you're paying now versus what you would be paying for the same A-rated insurance quality that you are looking for. You might just be paying too much money for your homeowner's insurance. You might need to just put some more of that money back in your own pocket. It's TGSinsurance.com. That's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.com. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zerline.
Join Culture Map and Sports Map tomorrow for the tailgate, an all-out celebration of Houston sports and the fans who cheer them on. Savor tailgate-inspired bites from your favorite restaurants, including FM Kitchen, Twin Peaks, the Waffle Bus, and many more. Sip on signature drinks. Enjoy game day activities. Plus, VIP ticket holders can meet and greet with former Houston Texan Jonathan Joseph. Tickets are on sale now. Include all food and drinks. Use promo code ESPN for $10 off any ticket type. Head to tailgate.culturemap.com to get your tickets today. I believe There'll be a broadcast out there tomorrow with the Killer Bees. And apparently the Oracle has spoken, according to Lance. Mm. And one person in that room will be there, according to Lance.
Yes, for sure. Two people, me and John.
Oh, you and John will both be there.
The Oracle has spoken.
Do you know
the
this
coin
Oracle?
Has spoken?
So,
all right, you know what? Actually,
so wait a minute before we get to these calls. So we those numbers were correct. The Phillies have been around for 141 years and made 16 postseasons. The Astros have been around for 62 seasons, 17 postseasons. Look at the look at how lucky we are. We are. It's
lucky or good?
Incredible. Well, how good we are. How good we
did
are.
It feel lucky last night?
No, but. You know what? I was glad to be there.
I was just happy to be there. You know, I just wanted, I wanted sportsmanship to win.
Oh,
and sportsmanship did win.
Now that
except when
Aroldis Chapman threw 104. Was that intentional? I got to think it was.
I got to think so.
Because they took
the
one of the ribs.
Was Abreu?
Abreu slapped somebody in
now,
the ribs
here's
again.
The deal. Brian Abreu has a point, has a real point. And, oh, by the way. The Major League Baseball saw it, and they're suspending him the first two games of next year. Brian Abreu just proved last night he was not good.
That's what John Smoltz said. If I'm a Braves fan, I'm like, I mean, not a Braves. If I'm a Rangers fan, I'm like, okay, somebody's got to wear one from the Astros. Yeah. The guy who just kicked this thing off in Game 5 just hit our guy in the ribs, and that one you knew hurt. I think Chapman 100% through. That's the perfect time.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets suspended for two games.
Though, and oh, by the way,
he threw it as hard as he could,
and at around the butt area. Yep. He didn't throw around the head.
No, right. But he hit him in the leg.
In the leg, hard.
Hard.
And the back of the leg.
And it hurt.
Oh,
it hurt
right
bad.
Behind the knee.
No,
right back there.
I wonder if he's going to get a two-game suspension. If Chaz, if the Astros would have run out there on the field,
he couldn't run.
The big.
How's he going to run out
there?
No, if
the Astros would have, not him. Would that have turned into a two-game suspension for him? Yeah. It has to, right? That's intentional.
Yep.
Well, it's not intentional because it's Aroldis.
The six umpires met and they decided Chapman wasn't trying to do it on purpose. They decided intent. He didn't have the same intent. They
the
decided
Astros
amongst
hit a
themselves.
Pitcher. They hit somebody. Clearly, this is intent.
Not last night.
I think he did. I mean, it's part of baseball. It's once Abreu hit a second guy, I knew an Astro was going to get dotted. Hmm. I just didn't want it to be 104. In the back, and like Chaz looked like it knocked a little bit of pudding out of him.
Yeah,
and
oh
I could
my
see
God,
some pudding come out.
He was hurting.
He was hurting.
Yeah,
but so was who did they hit? Who did they? Was it Gar? Who got hit by Abreu yesterday in the ribs? Because you could hear him go. Ooh,
oh no, he couldn't breathe. He was sitting. He was laying it to one knee at home plate, going.
And then Smoltz goes. Now I will admit. Smoltz sounded giddy when the Astros.
Was it Garver?
Smoltz did sound a little like he had a little pep in his step that maybe somebody other than the Astros is going to be there. I will admit that I love listening to Smoltz, but it did sound like Smoltz was like, good.
We don't have the Astros.
I tried to give them the game plan to get Astros out for the last three games.
Did you see Dusty's quotes about, you know, why, Dusty, they asked him before the game, what did you do today? Well, I went to where I get my coffee, and I got some muffins, and I brought it to the guys. And Stanek talked about Dusty. He goes, yeah, he brings me walnuts. Because Dusty's like the caterer for all these guys. He brings them muffins.
He's a pawpaw.
He brings them pudding.
What do you mean? This is what a pawpaw does.
He brings them.
You've got a granddaughter you need to bring stuff to.
Well, I'm not going to bring her.
Oh, here's
Dusty brings everybody food.
That's what mamas and papas do. Usually it's your grandma.
I guess.
But, yeah, here's some walnuts. Oh, thanks, grandma. I mean, is it cinnamon walnuts or chocolate-covered walnuts? That's a grandparent move. They made it themselves.
Stanek said his buddy raises walnuts, and Dusty brings them to him all the time. And he's like, I'll miss him. He brings me walnuts.
Do you think Dusty's hunting dogs will attack him and bark at him since they haven't seen him?
Didn't he say he had...
He had two, like, year-old hunting dogs.
Are you sure he didn't say hot dogs?
No. Why? Who has a year-old
like
hot
wiener
dog?
Dogs?
No.
I thought he said hot dogs, like wiener dogs.
Oh, I thought you meant actual food hot dogs. No, he said hunting dogs, and he said he hadn't seen them in the year. Do you think the dogs will bark at him? Will they acknowledge him? So are we going to have one of those emotional things where Dusty has someone film the dog, see him, they're wagging their tails, excited, jumping on him?
There it is. How?
Pawpaw's back. Pawpaw's back.
All right, let's get Ryan in here before we break because he's been waiting. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So y'all got to quit letting Gilbert
call, like do predictions anyway. I mean, he's been pretty spot on for the Astros and telling them that they're going to lose. Y'all got to stop doing that. And I just want to say RIP to the 23 Astros. We'll get them next year. All right. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. I don't know. You can't stop Gilbert. I mean, he's unstoppable. He'll outsmart us and find a way to get it in anyway.
Well, we do ask him directly. I mean, if we stop
right,
asking
but sometimes
him,
he outsmarts us anyway.
Well, that's true.
I mean, he'll get it in there even if we try to stop him. D wants to talk Astros. What up, D?
Is that his version of D's?
I was worried it was going to be D's.
D's.
That's what it's going to be. No, it's not D, it's D's. How do you like D's Rangers nuts? That's probably what it was going to be.
Yeah, probably.
And then they got scared and hung up. Hey, guys. I just want to talk about Rangers. See, are you hyperventilating? Relax. It's just a phone call.
Okay. I don't want to talk about D's Rangers nuts anyway. So, no, good. I'm glad D couldn't get in here.
Alan. How about our old friend Alan Reed, photographer? Former photographer. He said, hey, are the Astros going, is this going to be like the SEC where the Astros are going to cheer for the Rangers since they came out of the same? Let's see. AL West. See, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I don't see the Astros pulling an SEC. I think they will. Now, I did have one emailer who said, or texter who said, or tweet or whatever. He said, I'm a Cowboys fan who's also an Astros fan. That's problem number one, but whatever. I'm a Cowboys fan who's also an Astros fan. You know, he's a Houston guy. He said, however, I hate the city of Philadelphia. Because if you're an Astros fan, you could not like the city of Philadelphia. You could not like Philadelphia because of the Phillies, I guess, last year. But if you're a Cowboys fan, you really hate the city.
I like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
Yeah. So he said, basically, an Astros fan said, you know what? I may have to cheer for the Rangers if they end up, or I may have to cheer for the Rangers if they end up playing the Phillies because he hates the city of Philadelphia. Mm. And like I said before, you don't hate teams as much as you hate fan bases. Now, the Rangers, with all the Garcia stuff, and you saw the pimp job yesterday.
Yeah.
He was taking that to a little different level. You can hate a team, but really, in this day and age, people hate fan bases as much as they hate teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard, and somebody made a comment that based on the way the Rangers fans got after Astros fans or were talking trash, and Astros fans are, I'm not immune. I understand. Astros fans are probably the worst because we win all the time. So it's probably the worst dealing with Astros fans. I acknowledge that's probably the worst. I deal with Astros fans that I don't particularly care for.
We have sound of you yelling at them.
You have sound of me. Yeah, you don't. No. You're not allowed to question Dusty ever. You're
Didn't
not allowed
SDH
to do.
Him?
No.
No, that was about Brisket.
No, yeah. I know, but he SDH'd them too, I
think. I don't
think
I told them to suck the whole
No, thing. I don't think so.
Ooh, I'm pretty sure you guys. No, I'm I pretty didn't get, sure he got it that day after you got into it with the Astros.
No. I got mad. We still had
Did
that.
Did you call
him
Dirty Yeah. Dirty Bees? Or that was no, that, was that, that Brisket was, too?
No, that was also the same thing.
No. You got a little got, feisty
I
with
did.
The
no,
Astros.
I,
yeah, he
I
got
remember.
Agitated.
I remember, but it wasn't that. I remember. No. I remember when SDH came
ugly,
out.
Ugly
talk, talk about wearing orange colored underwear or something like
I said,
that.
Oh, I said, yeah, orange. I said orange colored underwear, and also, I said, oh, sorry, no, I yelled something out.
Yeah, but he didn't go.
No.
He didn't do it.
I kind of lost my temper a little bit that day.
It happened.
If he did, HRMP could be called. And if HRMP is called and calls Lance into the office, then things get serious. Listen, we don't handle HR by ourselves. We handle it with HRMP. HRMP makes decisions for you so that you don't lose your business, so that you do the right thing, so that you are compliant with national law. Okay, there's a lot of things that you can and can't do, and you don't want to do these yourself and then go, oh, well, I didn't know. I didn't know is not a way that you can go. I didn't know is not a defense, okay? You have got to know, and if you don't know, which you shouldn't know, here's why. is because you're selling your widgets. You got to go out there and sell whatever product you have. I don't know what your product is, if it's yourself, if it's something that you manufacture, if it's a service, whatever it is, you go out and sell that. Do you have time to take care of all the and keep up with all the HR? No. Do you have time to do all the payroll? Are you experts in payroll? No. Are you experts in the Affordable Care Act? No. And so you shouldn't be doing those things. Let experts do those. You know who's experts in those fields? HR&P. And here's the deal, is you got all kinds of other stuff, admin stuff that you have to take care of as well. But how about HR&P lets you choose what'll be best for your business? Now, they'll give you different options, and they'll suggest which one might be best for you guys. But you get those options. They're not making money off those because they are not in that business. They're in the business of HR&P, and that's why they call themselves HR&P. So if you're looking for a company and if you're not completely satisfied with yours, or if you're trying to do it yourself, don't. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
I don't want nobody with me in these streets. God, you bitches. I don't want nobody with me in these streets.
What happened now?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
What happened?
Ain't nobody got.
Shut up!
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
So, Lance did call people the B-words, but he didn't say dirty bees. When he got in.
I didn't think anyone was dirty at that time.
Just some bees.
Yeah. What happened now? Apologize? You owe Dusty an apology.
You owe us all an apology.
Here are the Astros free agents this year.
Uh-oh.
Hector Neris. He's going to decline his player option. Martin Maldonado, Michael Brantley, Phil Maton, and Ryan Stanek. What order do you want them back in?
Stanek last place. Maldonado next to last. Then Maton. Wait. No. Then Brantley. Then Maton, then Neris.
You want Neris back the most, Maton second, Brantley third, Maldonado. Stanek last? Stanek gave you a lot of innings.
Why don't I give Stanek? I don't care.
Stanek set the record for best ERA ever.
This year?
Last year.
You mean the guy who barely pitched in the postseason?
I know. Last year, he set the record last year.
I don't care about last year.
And Dusty didn't even use him last year.
And then Christian Javier was incredible and got a paycheck last year. Who cares now?
Well, Stanek wasn't bad this year. It wasn't horrible.
Stanek is just a guy. You can go find those guys. Why are the Astros? Jeff Leneau never, and even James Click, didn't fall in love with the same bullpen over and over. This bullpen wasn't very good this year,
no.
Frankly. No. It wasn't very good. It was definitely wasn't consistent. I think it's time to, you know, make some of those changes. Do you have anyone in the minor leagues? Bring in somebody new.
Well, Stanek here's the deal is you got some decisions to make when Garcia comes back. And McCullers comes back in, you know, I don't know, around September next year, whenever he comes back. But now you got seven starters. And a couple of those guys are going to have to go to the bullpen. You added Verlander. You've got, yeah, you do. What are you going to do with Urquidy?
I question whether or not Hunter Brown might be.
Hunter Brown.
I know he is a starter by nature, but I do wonder. He's got some good stuff, some strikeout stuff. When he's on, he's on. I just wonder if we might see a Hunter Brown, Presley and Abreu combination of a 7-8-9, because man, you could shut down. Like Hunter Brown's a guy who could go 6-7, and I understand that he's a starter and that's highly unlikely, but for the good of the team, based on all the starters you have, man, you could really put the last few innings in lockdown.
Yeah. Yep. Let's get Ryan Ray in here. Hey, Ray.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I got a question. If the Astros suffer from their success, and what I mean by that is the Belichick-Brady situation where Belichick said they won because of him and Brady thought they won because of him, if that makes sense. Because I heard that, that Dusty wasn't happy with the front office because they wanted to use analytics versus his field of play, if that makes sense. And, that, you know, like, in other words, analytics – the front office probably said, we lost because we didn't use analytics. And then Dusty's saying we lost because we did use analytics. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't think you didn't win or lose because of analytics or anything. The question's going to be,
wait a minute. Who are you hearing that's blaming the other side? I mean, I haven't heard that.
I just saw a headline.
Well, you saw a headline that said that?
Yeah.
Where was this headline?
I couldn't tell you. I was just flipping through the internet, and I just saw it. Okay.
I hadn't seen that. I hadn't seen anybody blaming anybody that it's, you know, analytics or that it's not or that or listen, the personnel isn't good enough or I haven't seen any fingers being pointed.
Is there a belief this season that there was not a unified approach to how they did things between baseball people and
it was
and
more
the
so last
people.
Year. That's why Click isn't here.
No, I heard from a very good source that there is a chasm. There's a chasm about how to do things in the background. There's a chasm where some people higher up believe a certain thing and mm-hmm. Dusty and some people, including Maldonado, by the way, believe a separate thing. And it's not unusual. You know, there's just different ways of looking at how baseball's played, how you go about things. It's not that unusual, but it can turn into a thing if you don't get it settled and straightened out. This has been one of the reasons it's been an incredible run, not just because you can keep winning even when you lose players, not just because you keep getting consistent play out of and clutch play out of certain players. It's also been incredible because everyone seems to like each other and the team has gotten along and they've had great energy. The one thing you don't want is a breakdown between a manager and a general manager or a breakdown in a locker room with philosophy. You want everyone on the same page. That's in any sport. And I think right now there is probably a little bit of that needs to be cleaned up with the Astros, making sure everyone's on the same page. I mean, if you didn't know that they weren't on the same page, look at James Click a year after winning a World Series being gone, and then look at the Astro Jim Crane saying we need to get more baseball eyes on things and you know, things that didn't seem to make a lot of sense based on the fact that you just had so much success. So clearly there is a chasm between the way things were done and the way things that people want things to be done in the future. I mean, I'm kind of, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Personally, I don't know all the dynamics, but I do know that there is a chasm between, I know Dusty had an issue with some things that were being done from a base running standpoint that they had worked on. Well, I don't want to get too far into it, but there was just an issue with some things they were teaching, I think, in the minor leagues. And I heard from a friend of mine about a discussion that was had behind the scenes. And I think that it leads me to believe Dana Brown's comments lead me to believe that Dusty will be gone. But even with Dusty gone and a new manager here, I think that does raise the question. Does Joe Espada just roll right into that? And you want to try to keep that fluidity. You know, there's been rumors that Bagwell loves Maldonado and he might be interested in seeing Maldonado as a manager. I think Maldi will make a great manager when the time comes to it. On the broadcast last night, I was just a glutton for punishment. They were getting their asses kicked, but I was listening to Big Cat. Who's on the broadcast with Carl Ravitch?
I don't know.
Eduardo Perez. Eduardo Perez said that Michael Brantley, more than being a hitting coach, he said, of course he'd be a great hitting coach, but he said people around baseball believe Michael Brantley deserves to have an opportunity to be much more than just a hitting coach. Now, what does that mean? I don't know if it means GM, manager, or whatever, but I think you got a couple guys in Brantley and Maldonado who have great baseball minds who may move on at some point to do that kind of thing. So that could be an interesting. You know, what if Espada took over and Maldi became his bench manager? I'd be perfectly happy with that.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. As long as, you know, pitchers don't go, hey, Maldi, can you catch me to that? Because
catcher manager?
Yes, catcher manager. Player manager.
My one worry.
It's happened before. Don Kessinger did it.
My one worry would be it all gets a little incestuous where no more outsiders. We're just gonna flip it. Dusty can go, but we'll keep everyone the same. I've seen
you don't
it,
like that?
I've not. It doesn't work when you. It doesn't work well. I mean, it's like I.
Your way is how Bagwell got in.
I was point. No, he's an inside Astro dude too. I point to Clemson. Clemson. Dabble never really ever wanted to switch things up. Just rehire another Clemson guy. Now he did get Gary Riley. He's not working this year. He finally did that, but I wouldn't be opposed to reaching outside if you find the right candidate and a breath of fresh air. Change, hear a new voice, hear a different approach. That would be my one worry about just hiring from within.
Yeah. Listen. I don't care. I don't mind. I don't mind if Maldi was going to be the. I wouldn't mind at all if Maldi was going to be the manager. I just don't want Maldi back as a player. You can't have it. He can't. You cannot have it. The Maldi cannot be on that bench even as a backup role because the pitchers will go to him. It is. And the man and if it's Dusty, forget about it.
Wait, you don't even
you
want
gotta
him as
take
a...
You got to take him away. So just you like you even... took Miles Straw away from him.
So even as a backup, you wouldn't want Maldi?
No, he couldn't be a backup.
But what's wrong with the pitchers going to him and asking him, like, what's
wrong
with...
The pitchers would go to the manager and say, I want Maldi to
but
catch
wait,
me.
What's wrong, though, if Maldi, if there's an understanding from on high, this is where Dana Brown's got to put his foot down and say, this is the way we're going. Diaz is the guy. Because Diaz, frankly, Maldi's arm's not – it's he's no, really lost a lot.
A
over
lot.
The, now, they're stealing bases on Christian Javier. I get that. But Maldi's arm is – you can go look at Fangraphs. The numbers are down. He does not have the same arm. So defensively, I'm not sure he's better than – the numbers say he's not better than Niner
Diaz.
The
pass balls, I mean,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, it's really – it's fallen off very quickly. But still, I would love, in a perfect world, to have Yiner Diaz, and maybe he could do that as a bench coach, but I would love to have Yiner Diaz learning from Martin Maldonado.
Yeah.
Why would you not
want that? No, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just telling you, if he's got a uniform on, the pitchers are going to go to the manager and say, we want Maldi to catch us, and you just can't have it anymore. You just can't.
We want Maldi. Beow, 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 beow.
Yeah. When we come back, news of the weird coming your way. And, well, we got to touch on something. We got to touch on one thing that we haven't even touched on. But we will do that and news of the weird. First, though, John Daspit. That's not weird.
John Daspit's not weird at all. John Daspit's just what happens when you need help with an injury. And personal injury attorneys out there working for you, a lot of them just want to try to get a settlement as quickly as they possibly can and then move on and move to the next case. John Daspit doesn't treat you like a number. He treats you like a person, and he treats you like a person that he wants to fight for and fight hard for. And that's the difference between John Daspit and some of the other people out there. He is going to get all the information he needs to on your injury, on your medical bills, on your physical therapy, on potential surgeries in the future, your pain and suffering, what happened, what, you know, he wants all of the facts so that he can get the best settlement possible. And then, you know, he is willing to wait it out a little bit and make sure that he gets that best settlement. He's willing to go to court and fight for you, and he's got a phenomenal winning percentage. Have someone that can bully back on the insurance companies that are trying to get you the smallest settlement possible and get it settled as quickly as they can. You need someone on your side. That's John Daspit. For a free consultation, go to the website, Daspit Law, or DaspitLaw.com, or just go to or give them a call to 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. It's John Daspit.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now for news of the weird with John and Lance.
Weird. Weird. John and Lance Weird.
News of the weird.
News.
Weird.
Now, people sometimes say women drivers. Dell, I've heard you say that, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Don't lie. Don't lie on me.
I don't know.
We have never had a conversation about women drivers.
I don't know. I think. I'm not sure.
No, you're wrong.
How about a woman who accidentally drove to Mexico during a simple car trip to Home Depot? Isn't that what your father did, though? He took your brother to Home Depot, and instead he drove to Nigeria?
No, you can't drive to Nigeria from Long Beach, California.
Isn't that what happened, though?
No. The story is he took my brother to Home Depot, and while he was taking him, he had a family friend, pack my brother's bag. So when they got back, they took him right to the airport. He was a distraction, a ploy.
He was to Home Depot is a ploy?
Yeah.
Come with me, son, to Home Depot.
Oh, you're doing an accent now?
Well, I think that wasn't an accent. That's just how I that's how I
no,
talk.
No,
you come to me. Come with me,
no,
son.
No, that's not
Depot.
How you talk.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
So this woman, she apparently just got distracted, and she ended up in Mexico.
You think that's a unique to woman thing or this specific person? Well, answer. You just mumbling.
I don't know the answer to that. How about the woman that drove her car into a trash compactor? Look at this. How do you get an entire car into a gigantic trash? And then the story says, we're not sure how that happened. We're not really sure. But he makes fun all the time. Okay.
What are they fun of?
Women drivers.
He tried to do that to me when you're out of the studio.
Actually, it was Raheel. That's where
yeah.
I remember.
Well, it's Katie women drivers.
Women.
Yeah.
Katie,
let's get it right.
That's right. I knew it was somebody in here. I knew one of you guys did it. Apparently, a Kansas wildlife expert is teaching a class on how to eat squirrels from your yard.
Yeah.
How would you like your squirrel prepared?
Well, you cook it over a flame.
Well, I know that, but how would you like it? In a stew? Would you like a little Bernays sauce?
So I know how to do this. So I've watched Alone.
Okay.
And one of the ways that we would make squirrel, well, I consider myself a bit of, well, an
how
amateur.
How long would you last with
an
nothing
amateur
but
survivalist, probably no more than 9 to 11 days.
Okay. hours, maybe.
He would be crawled up in a little ball.
Yeah.
After
he could, you wouldn't
at
be able
the
to
first
build
day,
a,
I'm hungry.
The way
I'm
we do it
hungry.
Is you skin,
you, can't build
you feel
a
dress a squirrel, you take out the innards, is mm-hmm. what I call them.
That's
then you
what
take
a lot
off
of people
the
call
them. Squirrel skin, and you get it, and you can either cook it over fire, or like you said, John, you could also boil it and make it into
so
a little
why
bit
am
of
I
a
eating
squirrel stew, yeah.
Why am I eating squirrels out of my yard if my home is right there?
Well, if you don't
can
have
just
food,
walk
you want to save
house?
Money.
Can I just walk in the house?
Maybe you're unfood, what is it called?
Food insecure?
Yeah. Yeah. Not unfooded.
You're unfooded.
That's not what it is. It's
you're
unhoused.
Food insecure. Maybe it's, you're making squirrels. Maybe you just like the taste of squirrel meat. There's a lot of reasons you might just eat yard squirrels.
I'm not going to eat yard squirrels. I get if I'm on a loan, I have to eat, but I'm not going to pull it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shoot a squirrel
well,
out of my
tree.
If you're
on a loan, you appreciate things more like, would you ever cook, would you ever eat a mouse? On a loan, you would, and you'd be happy.
When there's,
you
when there's money at the end of the you think you could last 9, 11 days?
Probably more, 13 days.
Can you build a
shelter?
Well,
the more I'm thinking about, because I know how to catch rabbits, too, because I've watched that show.
That's not how it works. Just because you watch the show doesn't
you just make
to catch
a loop.
Rabbits.
You just find some wire, you make a loop.
Can are we done with this yet?
Build a shelter.
Can we?
No, we're not done.
Let's
have the whole segment about how
frames.
You survive.
I just stick two
can
things together,
this?
Put my tarp
you,
over
you
it.
You fell for it.
This
no,
is easy.
You continue to question
I think it's entertaining.
No, I could do this.
What kind of shelter would you build?
A-frame.
Okay.
A-frame?
Yeah, you just do that and you put the thing over that.
The thing.
No question, I've watched lots of seasons.
See, stop already.
You'll lose this one, Dell. I know how to survive.
You would freeze
in the
to
wild.
Death. You'd lose.
I know how to make a fire, too.
Retired Australians spent almost 500 days at sea after booking 51 straight cruises because it's cheaper than a retirement home.
Yeah.
Do you think cruises should be cheaper than living in a retirement home?
No, probably not. Retirement homes, we need to make
wouldn't that be so much more fun?
A little bit more affordable.
Than a smelly, where it smells like urine?
Yeah.
Does the cruise ship smell like urine? I don't know.
I've never been on a cruise. Cruises get a lot of bad. Some people love them. Have you ever been on one?
I hated it, yes.
You did?
Hated it.
Why? How come?
Because it's not the best. It's just not.
How come?
Well, because you're trapped on the ship.
Yeah.
The rooms aren't, unless you're on a different. Now, a buddy of mine just went on a Viking cruise in Europe. He said it was the greatest thing ever. If it's really nice cruise ship, that's one thing. But then you got a lot of people that you always have to deal with that maybe aren't the greatest, you know, people. And
they're not Diamond Club people.
Well, I don't know about that.
Not
I don't
DC
know if
people.
They're Diamond Club people, but.
They're the unwashed.
Yeah.
Well, if
the
they're
unclean.
Unwashed, then it's bad.
They're
yes.
like upper deck people.
Speaking of the unwashed, a convicted
Crawford
killer
people.
Known as the Zombie Hunter. He's none too happy. He says life on death row is cold and the food is not great.
Wait a minute.
If he's killing zombies, why is he on death row?
Exactly.
No, he's a zombie. Oh, he's the zombie hunter. Yeah, he
if
is.
He's doing us
well,
a favor
he
killing zombies.
Sounds like we need to thank him for his service.
Well, he killed two young women in the early 1990s.
Were they zombies?
Yeah, but well, apparently he said they were. Maybe they weren't, though. That's
well, you
problem.
Don't know.
Or is he...
Or maybe they were just young girls.
You
or
don't
is
know.
He... not maybe he doesn't hunt zombies. Maybe he's the zombie.
Maybe he's a zombie who hunts.
Yeah,
hunts.
Then that's okay. A bad. Then
that's,
yeah.
That's bad.
That yeah. would be bad.
I need
yeah.
more information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because on Walking Dead, zombie hunters are good guys.
Right. Usually they are. But in this case, yeah, they're he's not.
So he doesn't like the...
Asked to explain how his DNA was found on the bodies, and he said, well, that's the million-dollar question.
Set up? How do you think?
I mean, come before we go, we didn't even... My J. Sanders is a Texan.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Kind of a slippery, skinny guy. Skinny pass rusher.
Small for a
very
pass
skinny.
Rusher.
He's a guy who is kind of slippery. You know, he's got a chance to maybe get some... He needs to be able to play some special teams. Maybe has a chance to add something to the rush. He's kind of... That's what he does. He's not good against the run, so... You know, maybe he gives him a chance to just become a little bit more competitive at there. He's going to have to compete for playing time, but not better than Jonathan Greenard or Will Anderson. But he's a player who, or even Jerry Hughes for that matter. But he's young, coachable, maybe.
So four guys are eligible to get off the IR this
juice,
week.
Juice.
Derek Stingley's one of them. Greg Bailey asked.
You better get your
Greg
ass off
Bailey.
There,
asked Nick Caserio about Derek Stingley, and he said, I think he's going to come off the IR sometime this year.
Okay. Save this for tomorrow.
He said
he
that.
He better get
he
his
actually
ass.
Said,
get off the thing and get into a game,
this
please.
Sometime
about.
This year, he said. Underdog
How long
fantasy.
Has this lasted?
Can you take a bet on Derek Stingley? An
well,
underdog
no,
fantasy?
We don't do bet. We do highs and lows.
All right.
Okay, we do the pick'em. Well, yeah, they're probably not going to put his total snaps. Maybe they'll do total game. They usually game by game, right?
Oh.
So they might have, you might see Damian Pierce with 58.5 yards rushing. Is he going to go higher than that or lower than that? And then you'll have a wide receiver like Nico Collins. You might have catches or yards or whatever, quarterback numbers. You may have college statistics as well. They have that for the pick 'em. They have it for baseball. They have it for basketball. You can mix and match any number of sports, and guess what? It doesn't matter. As long as you pick anywhere between 2 and 5, you're going to win big. You can win 3 times your original play when you have a 2 higher. You win 2 of the higher lows. You get 20 times that amount when you pick all 5 of them correctly, and then there are payouts in between 6 times and 10 times the amount. Don't forget, use promo code Lance, and they will double your initial deposit up to $500. You throw $500 in there initially with your deposit, you're going to see $1,000 total in there. That is a great opportunity for you to use the house money and win real money right here in the state of Texas completely legally with my friends over at Underdog Fantasy. They have the best app that you can use, and I highly recommend you download it today. Make sure that you are having even more fun when you're watching games, and do it with Underdog Fantasy. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you have a problem with gambling, call 800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5 and 97.5.